Hello and welcome to another podcast. I haven't done one for a while because, despite popular opinion, I do actually have a life and I've been a bit busy doing various personal things. So hadn't really given podcasts much thought. But now that I've got those bits and bobs out of the way, I thought I'd have another look at a podcast. One of the podcasts I wanted to do today was inspired really by conversations I've had a lot over the years, and sort of you see it a lot now on Twitter and Instagram and things like that, is my top five heroes and villains from the comic book world. I must admit, I'm not usually the type of guy that has a top five. I usually go for a top three, because I think, you know, I find three's easy, and you sort of struggle a little bit more once you go past number three. But I thought actually I'd give five a go. Kind of makes me think a little bit more about who's on the list and why they're on the list. So yeah, I sort of thought I'd do that. So I'm going in reverse order, because otherwise there's no point doing, you know, if I gave you my five, my favourite straight away, there's no point doing the rest, is there? So my number five is Superman. Obviously, as a kid, saw the Christopher Reeve movies, and had comic books of Superman and things like that. And obviously, again, you know, as a kid, I'd, you know, seeing somebody who can fly, somebody who can do, you know, those amazing things, run really fast, laser eyes, you know, bulletproof, was just a pretty cool thing. And I think, from my point of view, Superman was never really what you'd call a sexy superhero. He was a little bit boring. Captain America in that way, always doing the right thing. But I think, you know, certainly recently, certainly since probably the mid-2000s, I reckon, he's got a little bit of edge to him now. Not just because of the Zack Snyder Man of Steel film, which sort of gave Superman a different edge. Well, I mean, he snapped Zod's neck for a start off, but I think, you know, even in the animated movies, he's just got a little bit more bite about him and a little bit more of an edge to him than previously, and kind of it's given him a bit more to do, which I think makes a character more interesting. Because I think, you know, Superman realistically is borderline, when you think about it, is borderline dull. You know, there's nothing he can't do. And actually, the creators of Superman realised that quite early on, which is why they ended up introducing Kryptonite. Because they kind of realised that they'd made essentially a god that nobody could stop, and there was never going to be a threat for him. So they introduced Kryptonite to obviously level that playing field a little bit. I think, you know, my view is I think Kryptonite is probably overused by now. But now he has sort of villains he can go toe-to-toe with in actual battles and fights, like Brainiac, Zod, Lex Luthor in his Lexo suit. So I think, you know, they've kind of levelled that out a little bit. Number four is the Flash. Again, there's just something about the Flash that I quite like. He's always optimistic. He's always sort of hopeful. You know, he's had a tragic backstory with his mum being murdered, and his dad obviously being imprisoned for that. But unlike Batman, who sort of spirals into a bit of a pit of depression about that, that kind of doesn't destroy Barry. And actually inspires him to, A, solve his, you know, mum's murder, really, and get his dad out of prison. But also kind of gets him into solving other crimes and making sure that, you know, the guilty are guilty and the innocent are innocent. And I quite like that about his character, really, that hopefulness. And obviously, you know, you've got a dude who can run faster than the speed of light, time travel. You can phase through walls. You can phase through people's bodies. I mean, it's a pretty cool thing. And my sort of love for the character's kind of been increased, really, by the CW show The Flash, and Grant Gustin's display of Barry Allen's excellent in that as well. So here's my number four. My number three is Spider-Man. So I'm going into my top three now, which I, you know, sort of class as my traditional three that I would always list if people asked me. So number three, Spider-Man. Again, watched the excellent animated cartoon as a kid, and that was absolutely amazing. Read a lot of Spider-Man comics, had a lot of Spider-Man annuals as a kid. And again, there's something pretty cool about Spider-Man. You've got obviously the wall climbing and that sort of the web slinging and slinging through cities and things like that, which is pretty cool. But actually, what I quite like is that, and why he's probably number three, is that he's still vulnerable, in terms of, you know, he can be hurt, he can be killed, and he has been killed a few times in the comics, obviously. And I just think, you know, he's not a Superman where he's sort of got these superpowers and, you know, he's invulnerable. He's strong but not massively strong. You know, yeah, he can probably lift a car and things like that, but he's not like superhuman strength in terms of, you know, lifting up buildings and flying them to different places or whatever. You know, I think there's a vulnerability to him. So, and the fact that he's not actually a man is pretty cool. He's a kid, relatively speaking. He's at school. I know American schools are slightly different with their ages, but you know, he's a kid trying to do the right thing. Again, it's a classic tragic backstory with old Uncle Ben. But I think, again, yeah, I just think there's something about vulnerability to superheroes that I quite like, and they do it anyway, knowing that they could be harmed or killed. Number two is Green Arrow. I will admit he is a more sort of 10 year addition, really. Again, inspired really by Stephen Amell's take on the Green Arrow in the Arrowverse. I think when I used to see the Green Arrow in cartoons, I used to like him because I used when I was a kid because I used to like Robin Hood, and I do think there's something cool about a bow and arrow, which I really like because it's like sort of a chosen weapon. I do like a bow and arrow and. Like I said, pathetic, but as a kid, he reminded me of Robin Hood in the green outfit and the hood. And I quite like that. And the silly little hat that he used to wear and sort of obviously progressed to a hood in the mid 2000s, I think, when hoodies became cool, I would imagine. But yeah, again, I really like the Green Arrow. I like Stephen Amell's take on the Green Arrow. He's kind of the Batman of the CW universe. But I just think, again, you know, there's that vulnerability to him. He's trying to do the right thing. He fights for the little man, and that's why Green Arrow is not really interested in the comics, really, in joining the Justice League to start with. He's always a reluctant kind of sort of member of the Justice League. He's more interested in fighting for the little guy, the shop owners, you know, the people on the street, protecting his city, really. And I think that's a pretty cool thing, really. And number one, anybody who knows me is not going to be at all surprised to hear that Batman is my number one pick. A lot of people will say, oh, it's cliche, everyone picks Batman as their favourite superhero. Well, yeah, because he was the one that as a kid I read all the books about, read all the comics, saw all the cartoons, saw the Tim Burton films, Batman Forever, unfortunately, Batman and Robin, which as a kid I actually quite liked. But yeah, Batman is my favourite superhero. He's brutal, determined. He's got that kind of streak in him that can sometimes be quite dark and quite nasty, but it comes from a place of, you know, I mean, he had a horrendous experience. Both his parents were murdered in front of him, but Gotham City's not a nice place to grow up in the first place. And it's very much a, you know, a dark, dangerous place. And I think if you grew up as an orphan, even as a billionaire orphan, fueled with hate and stuff, you are going to be a bit damaged and a bit nasty. And I just like that he. Yeah, I just think he's cool, to be perfectly honest. So my top five villains, again, I had to put some real thought into this because I had top three nailed down, but then I sort of couldn't really think of four and a five, and then sort of started to think about cartoons and comic books that I've seen and recent TV shows actually that made me think of a couple of the villains. So number five is the Court of Owls, which are I say relatively new, they're probably not that new now. I think they've been around for about 10 years or so. But the reason I like the Court of Owls is just, I just think there's something really, I don't know, I just think there's something really dark and really dangerous about a group of villains who are kind of, they've got their hands in everything. They're in every kind of way of life in Gotham City. Sorry, these are a Batman villain for people that aren't aware of that. They've kind of got their fingers, they're very powerful, very rich people, influencers in Gotham City who actually tried to recruit Bruce Wayne actually to join them. And I just think there's something really cool about that kind of dangerous. There's not just one figurehead, there's not just one person that you have to defeat. It's like a group, a network of people. And that's a really difficult thing and a really scary thing, I suppose, when you think about it on in terms of, as a conspiracy, I suppose. I don't know what you'd call it. But obviously, within that there is Talon, who is kind of the figurehead villain, if you like, for Batman to fight. But the Court of Owls, I just think, is a really cool idea. And it's, to be honest, it's been used a lot, hasn't it? Moriarty's network probably inspired a lot of these things. Moriarty's network from obviously the Sherlock Holmes books. That kind of idea has been around for a long time, actually. So number four, again, I gave this some thought, and he's been very poorly used in films over the years, really, especially most recently. It's Doctor Doom from the Fantastic Four. Again, his look is really cool. He's got the cape, he's got the hood, he's got the metal mask, the metal sort of body outfit. And I just think there's something really, really cool about him as a kid watching the Avengers cartoons, actually. He and reading the comics, actually. He was the villain that at least I saw them fight off the most, really. And they always sort of struggled against him. He's quite a powerful, powerful villain. And obviously that's why, it needs the Fantastic Four. It needs four of them to take him on, really. So he's number four. So now I'm going into my top three, which is again where I'm confident and hit my stride in terms of who I like as villains. So Venom actually is number three on this list. I think there's probably a lot of Spider-Man fans out there would probably either go Venom or possibly Doctor Octopus or Green Goblin. But for me, Venom is kind of he's my favourite Spider-Man villain and top three villain because he's almost the same as Spider-Man. He's got similar powers, obviously because he attached himself, the symbiote attached himself to Spider-Man. He's got Spider-Man's look as such that he's adopted from again because he was sort of leeching off Spider-Man. But also he's quite dangerous in the fact that he's vicious, but he can't set off Spider-Man's spider senses either. And I've read a few different reasons for that, but I think my favourite one is that sort of Spider-Man still, like, it's still kind of part of Spider-Man. So he doesn't see him as a danger, or his spider senses don't get detected as a danger. And I think that's really cool. And it makes him more dangerous because Spider-Man's almost got that kind of. It's difficult for villains to get him because of the spider sense. But Venom could literally, if he wanted to, sneak up behind him and break his neck to be a bit dark, but he could, and Spider-Man would never know he was there. And he looks really cool as well. He's got the teeth, he's got the big long dribbly tongue. He just looks creepy, and he's hulking. And I think he's really, really cool. Number two is Lex Luthor, obviously from Superman. But I'm going to qualify this and say that I like the Lex Luthor from more of the comics and the animated movies, who, and actually arguably from Batman versus Superman, actually there's elements of this character in Batman versus Superman, but the Lex Luthor who believes that he's actually the good guy and that he believes he's trying to save humanity. He's worried about Superman. He's worried about what that means. He's worried that there are other aliens in the universe. He's worried that what if Superman turns against the human race, a bit like Lex in Batman versus Superman, is we've got this God amongst us, and have to rely on the kindness of others, I believe is Lex Luthor's line. And that's what I like about the Lex Luthor that's motivated in the comics and the cartoons, is that he's looking out. He thinks he's the good guy, and he thinks he's protecting the human race. I'm not a huge, and this is probably going to go down as controversial, I think, but certainly Kevin Spacey's Lex Luthor does this, and there are elements of it within Gene Hackman's Lex Luthor as well. Is the jealousy element of Superman, and that they're jealous of his powers, and that he should, and I believe Lex Luthor says this in Batman Returns, that he should share his powers. He's selfish, he keeps them to himself, and I don't like that side of the character. And I don't, certainly from being a kid and watching the cartoons and reading the comics, I don't remember that side of Lex Luthor. That seems to be a side that the movies seem to be quite keen on bringing out, and I don't like that. It's, for me, it's a petty motivation. And Lex Luthor's, I mean, he's a genius, he's a sociopath. I kind of think he's above that, or should be above that. And yeah, just not a fan of that element. And number one villain actually mirrors number one hero, and that's the Joker. I mean, I'm just going to say it, is there even a better villain in anything than the Joker? I mean, anything. I'm talking Moriarty, I'm talking whatever, I'm talking Thanos, I don't care. The Joker is the best villain I think that there has ever been created. He is absolutely crazy, he's dangerous, he's unpredictable, but he does have a plan. And that's what The Dark Knight does so well, is that he does actually have a plan. He pretends he doesn't have a plan. He pretends he's just this agent of chaos and he's doing whatever, but he has a plan. And I think that that makes him the most dangerous. And Batman's fully aware of that as well. And then when you chuck in, he's just absolutely batshit crazy. You've got all of that. He's just so dangerous. He's got no remorse. He just kills just for the hell of it. And what I like is that he does it to get Batman to come out and play. You know, he does things so that he, if Batman wasn't around, and the Dark Knight comics explore that, and if actually Batman wasn't around, would the Joker be around? Probably not. He just gets bored. And actually, in those comics, he goes into a catatonic state when Batman retires because he's got no purpose anymore. Batman's not around, then the Joker's not the Joker, and actually the Batman isn't Batman without the Joker, and there's just that kind of element to it. And I can't remember which comics it's explored in, but actually I think in one of the comics he actually kills Hugo Strange because Hugo Strange tries to tell him who Batman really is, and the Joker doesn't care. He doesn't care who he is. He only cares about Batman. And that's what motivates him fighting Batman. He doesn't care who Batman is, and that doesn't motivate him at all. He's not interested in that. So yeah, like I said, I don't think there's a better villain out there than the Joker in any literacy, in any comics, in any movies. People might disagree with that, and I don't know. Send me a voice message or a tweet and let me know if you do, or who you think might be better than the Joker and why. But for me, I mean, actually, I haven't even talked about his look. And I just think there's everything about him that just makes him the top villain. Thank you very much.